Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TGG, belatedly apologize. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call W2TGG. Alrighty, very good. That was the proverbial right answer. I apologize. My shack is a wreck, and I had neglected to note that it was going to be interesting just to get to my desk. But anyway, I apologize. I literally nodded off about a half hour ago, just before the net, and Ali was kind enough to call me. This is the Bergen County Amateur Radio Emergency Services Network, net, and are there any stations at this time who have areas appointments? Please call W2TGT.
W2TGT. This is Alpha Lima Zero Yankee, Bethany County. This is the emergency coordinator. Back to you.
Good evening, Ali. Thank you again for that that phone call. Are there any other stations with areas appointments?
Thanks, Gordon. No problem.
Alrighty, very good. Alright, stations whose call signs begin with Alpha, please call W2TGT with your call sign, your name, and your location. Over. Alrighty. How about stations with November? Okay, how about stations with Whiskey?
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, Bob, and no traffic.
WHYSC acknowledged. Thank you, Bob, from, what town are you from, Bob? I'm sorry.
Okay, it's Oradell.
That's right, it's Oradell, not Park Ridge. Okay, I mean, they're not River Edge. Okay, very good. Any other whiskeys?
This is W2NZ.
Tom Farrell, no, Paramus, Tom and Paramus. W2NZ, go right ahead.
Good evening, and you're correct, Gordon. Thank you. I was fishing about, I'm late a little bit because I was fishing about the connector to put my HT onto a mag mount in the house for the time being. But anyway, these are to listen and learn and get ahead of it.
Okay, Tom, you're doing well until the end, and you just started to fade out toward the end of that transmission. Alrighty, very good. Any other whiskeys?
W2TTT. This is Whiskey 2 Kilo Bravo Foxtrot, Carl in Fairlawn. Over.
Thank you, Carl. W2KBF from W2TTT. Very nice. Welcome aboard, Carl. Any other stations with a whiskey? Okay, any stations, any call sign, any relationship with Aries or not?
W2TTT. This is Kilo Delta 2, Bravo Kilo Delta, Bob in Park Ridge.
KA2BKD, thank you, Bob. Welcome from Park Ridge. Any other stations? Already, net recognizes AL0YDEZ from Passaic County. WA2ISC, Bob in Oradell. W2NZ, Tom. TH Tom in Paramus. W2KBF, Carl in Fairlawn. And KD2BKD, pardon me, Bob in Park Ridge. Are there any other stations? Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Pardon my tardiness. I literally nodded off probably 20 minutes before the net when it did not land, so I deeply apologize for that. And again, thank Ali for the phone call raising the dead, as it were. And of course, I came running upstairs and I went, oh my God, I can't even sit at my desk chair. I can't even get to my desk chair. I had started, but I had gotten some major progress in reworking my shack yesterday, and, or the day before, and I had forgotten all about the fun and games I had left it in. So that was kind of interesting. So I was literally winded by the time I moved about six boxes and a bunch of other miscellaneous equipment off my desk chair and a few other things. These things do happen. Hope everybody's enjoying the thaw. And do want to point out the ARRL, at least as of today, to my knowledge, and I haven't read the ARRL letter that came out today, has still not yet revealed the interesting changes that are going to come to us for Aries, but apparently there are some, Aries Connect, very much like the Red Cross Connect volunteer connection that is available to Red Cross volunteers, so see how that goes, and we'll keep you informed of that. Are there any stations who'd like to make any announcements or questions? Alrighty, well, then uncharacteristically, especially to the late start and the tardiness of yours truly, I think we'll call the net square tonight. I want to thank each of you for checking in again. AL0Y, W2IFC, W2NZ, W2KBF, and KD2PKD. Look forward to seeing each of you in the TechNet in about 10 minutes. Get myself a little more organized here for that, to be a little less discombobulated. So, again, it's going to be cold over the weekend, so things will be melting and freezing tomorrow in the rain and the post-rain. I will probably be at the Wayne Radio Club meeting tomorrow night, not in Fairlawn. Forward to seeing most of you at one or the other. Anyway, take care in 73 for now. W2TDD, returning the net, and repeaters of normal amateur radio use, closing down net.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Brian, what happened to you? You're there before the net, and I didn't hear you check in. This is W2KBF.
Probably because he had something better to do.
No, I'm here. Gordon just didn't give me a chance. I actually said net control at one point, and then he just started talking. But this is Kilo Delta 2, Kilo Lima November, checking in.
Well, I'll add you in, Brian.
There we go. I had heard a heterodyne on your signal, Gordon. I wondered if there was somebody under there. Let me see if I have it. Yeah, when you called for the kilos to check in, your deviation was really down. I could barely hear it. I think that's why you didn't get any Ks at the time, and then Bob, KD2BKD, checked in. So something a little funny happened there when you called for the kilos.
Really? Okay. I'll be mindful of that. Everything okay now?
Oh, yeah, perfect. Brian heard you. You heard him. It was just a momentary dropout on a particular transmission. It sounded like you were talking into the wrong end of your microphone.
No, wait. That's a GAI thing.
Now, be nice. That is what it sounded like, though, that you were a distance from the microphone or talking into the wrong end. Anyway, I understand you have a desk to unpack. Now I know what DEC stands for. It's a Desk Excavation Committee.
Well, if I told you that my desk, well, my old desk, is literally got 8 to 12 inches of stuff stacked on it and miscellaneous rubble, almost like it was an archaeological exercise. It's probably 30 inches deep and probably 7 or 8 feet wide. You wouldn't be surprised.
It happens to all of us. You're a busy man. Anyway, you get about a 5-minute catnap in between this and the next net. I don't think I'll hang around for TechNet. We've got to catch up on a few things, but glad you're running the Aries net. This is W2KBF.
Okie doke. I'm going to quickly scan the AWR letter, see if there's anything else going on. Brian, thank you for your checking in as well. I'm sorry I stepped on you.
Okay, I was just going to wait by chance and then eventually pipe up and say something, but it doesn't matter. It's okay. Not a big deal. Happens to me all the time on my own net, too.
Which is what, the Big Apple net?
Yeah, on nights when I'm not the net controller, I have trouble checking into the Big Apple traffic net. But, hey, you know, it's a busy net, so, you know, when there's 25 people checking in, you gotta be fast with that button.
Yep. All right, let me make this so that, you know, God forbid, the fire alarm goes off, I can actually get out of my desk. So I've kind of worked my way into a real mess. Oh, my Lord. The good news is the other half of my shack looks really, really nice, the workbench side. But I'm basically in the middle of a major upheaval after a year or two of gross neglect. So I'll be right back. Don't get to TDT.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. All right, good news. I'd like to hear that. Anyway, this is W2TTT, your net control for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net that is run weekly on a frequency of 46835, 2-meter repeater of the Venture Cruise 7373 Amateur Radio Club, located in Pearl River, New York. PL is off, but if it is on, it would be 151.4, 151.4 hertz, and of course the offset is minus 600 kilohertz. The purpose of this net is to have a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, our practices, what we do with our hobby, if you will, and things we aspire to do, things we aspire never to do again, and of course, the ability to do engage in a swap and shop for sale. Feel free to indicate whether you have a preference for something that you'd like to sell, trade, or barter for. In any case, we'd like you to participate in the net, irrespective of whether you have one of these topics, so that we can kind of tailor the topics and we handle them to your needs. We can't do that unless we know you. So if you're sandbagging, at least check in. So with no further ado, let's talk about how we check in. Clunk, let me go. Anyway, I was in a rush to restack a box of cables. Had disgorged itself and I balanced it wrong in my ham shack from hell here. Anyway, it will get better. It's been getting better steadily. All right, in any case, check in. We indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item. Combination of those things are none of the above. Log in, check in with our call sign and our name. So, get that. So, and we do it by call sign group. So stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha to call K2BAR. Alrighty, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Kilo. Alright, nothing heard. How about November? Yeah, how about Whiskey?
W2CTT, W2TDQ, Richard here in Clifton, New Jersey.
W2PDQ, good evening, Rich. What are your intentions, Richard?
Oh, just to say Happy New Year to you, because I didn't hear you for a couple weeks, and I have nothing really other than that to say. You have a great evening.
Thank you, Richard. Very nice, and Happy New Year to you and yours as well. Alrighty, any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, Bob, and I've got my second though 900 megahertz node flashed and ready to go with if we were going ahead with installing it somewhere within my range. Over.
Well, it's excellent. Thank you, Bob. We'll talk about that in due time. Who's the station that doubled with WHYSC? Who are you?
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Good evening, Don. I got you with a comment. Any other whiskeys?
Tom, Flemish, listening mostly, but it's always good to hear you all. I'll be monitoring.
Well, Tom, you're better than you have been, but you're still a little light at moments. Other moments, you're full quieting. You're getting there. Okay, thank you, Tom. Any other whiskeys? Okay, any call sign in any format?
K2BAR. That's Alpha Lima Zero Yankee Ali with two questions about the Arduino board.
About the Arduino board, okay. Very good, we got that, Ali. Any other stations? Alrighty, well, let's get right to it. W2JEK, Don, good evening to you, sir. Hope you are well. And off to you, W2DDD, K2BAR.
K2BAR, Nanette, W2JEK, good evening, everybody. And if I didn't say it before, Happy New Year. Our next VE test session that Barrow will be running is on Friday, January 19th. Friday, January 19th at 7 p.m. That's at the Senior Center and the Borough Hall on the Township of Washington at 350 Hudson Avenue. People are coming. The test fee is still $15. Need ID, such as a driver's license, a passport, a photo on it or something like that, or two forms of non-photo ID. And if you don't have a license, you'll need your social security number. If you have a license, please bring a copy of that license. And if you have a computer, you will have to bring your email address, because that's how they're going to send a license to you, unless few people, I guess, that don't have a computer will get it in the mail. But other than that, you have to have the email address. And you can bring a calculator. The memory must be empty. iPods, cell phones, other devices other than a calculator cannot be used. I think that sums it up. Back to net. W2JEK.
NJ2BS. Repeat.
Very good. Thank you, Don. Anybody have any questions or comments for Don regarding the upcoming test sessions or licensing? Don, actually, I have a comment for you. Several of my scouts, starting with my one son, earlier last year, but several this year, will have their licenses expire this month, having passed their test in late December 10 years ago. And one of them was in a Universal, and one of the Universal Studios things is you go on like an adventure and then you earn little badges, and one of them was copying a message out of a speaker, out of a gutted FT-101. I'll see if I can find it for you, and I'll try to email it to you. If not, I'll show it to you next time I see you. But he completed that activity with his girlfriend, looked at his ham license, and said, "Oh, it expires this month. What do I do?" And so he called me up from Universal Studios in Florida. I guess it was on Tuesday or Monday, and asked me how to renew, and I gave him the information as to how to renew for free, and it's all good. So he was very excited about that. So I looked up a couple other young men in one state. One guy, his license expired last year, and several others expire this month as well. So your legacy lives on, Don.
Okay, this is W2JEK. Do I have it? Okay, I guess I have it. Okay, after the license expired, there is a 2-year grace period. And have that fellow's license expired about a year ago, go for a renewal. Have a 2-year grace period. After the 2-year grace period, you're going to have to start taking tests again. So what he has to do is just do whatever you do with I guess you can go with it. The way I can do it with the computer with FCC.gov or something like that. I've never done it because I always do it through the ARRL. But if you are an ARRL member, that's one of the benefits of being an ARRL member. They will renew your license, get your license renewed for you. That's one of the perks of being the ARRL member. If you're not, you can go directly on the FCC website. I don't know how to do that exactly because I've never done it. But after 2 years, you can say you then you'd have to take a new license exam. And in that case, let me drop it a second. After it is expired beyond the 2-year grace period, whatever license you had, if you have got with the technician license and take that exam, and you pass that technician exam, you know, of course, you get your technician license back. However, if you had a general license, it would also get you back into your. You could come back as a general again, not with the same call sign, of course, but you'd come back as a general. If you had extra and you were expired beyond your 2-year grace period, to get that back, you'd have to pass the current technician exam. That's something new that came out recently. I don't recall anybody having done that. Those people that I've dealt with are enthusiastic enough to keep their license in force. Back to that, W2JK.
Absolutely. Actually, I've called ARRL a couple of times, and they've quietly renewed family members and one case of scout and troop, I might say so, and they're more than happy to do that. They just want some sort of life sign that from someone who's associated with the person to call up if the person themselves doesn't call up. So they took care of that, and that's pretty cool. Very, very cool. All righty. Anybody else have anything to add?
WA2BYX.
WA2BYX. Wow. Welcome aboard.
I think I finally got the CEL set right. Just wanted to make sure.
Hi, Steve. Very good. Are you checking into the net, or do you have a question?
I wanted to verify that I had the right CEL and I could get into the net. Tonight, we just wanted to verify that.
Well, if you have 151.4 programmed, that'll be the correct PL. Right now, the PL on the repeater receiver is turned off. But we're on carrier access, and we stay that way most of the time. But you're looking good. Thank you, Steve. Welcome aboard. It's nice to hear you. I don't think you've ever checked in. Very cool. Anybody else have any questions, comments for Don regarding licensing? Okie dokie. Don, back to you, W2JK, KTBR.
Okay, Gordon. I think I just about covered everything that I need to cover and a little more besides there, but that's fine. And, okay, back to net. Continue on. I don't think I have anything else at this time.
All right. Thank you, Don. Much obliged. All right, before we dive into the rest, are there any other stations wishing to join the net tonight? Please call KTBR. Okay, nothing heard. WA2ISC, you had a comment saying that you had flashed a second 900 meg node. And you're ready for a dancing partner, as it were. Did you get a chance to reach out to W2 JC, Jim, up the hill from you?
W2 DTT, K2BIR, WA2IC. Nogarden, I don't know how to reach him, so I haven't done that. So, but other than that, it should be ready to go. You just need a power supply and something else for it to connect, maybe on the old SOOC and then relay to, say, 2.4 gigs or something. Over.
Yeah, I think the first thing is just get it up at his site, point it toward your house, point your house toward him, and you put a computer on it, and that'll be sufficient. Tell you what, WTJC at ARRL.net does work. So his name is Jim, and I just suggest reaching out to him by email, saying you've got one ready to go, and if you would be interested in trying it out, and you can copy me on that email if you'd like. Again, WTTT@ARRL.net. And if he needs a mast or anything like that, or extra Cat 5 cable or whatever, I can help with that. But he might be able to square that away on his own. Not quite clear. But you know, if you've got a POE injector, I think it's all good. If you don't, I can certainly lend one to that effort as well. WA2IC, WU2TDD, K2BAR.
Okay, Gordon, oh, that address again?
Sure, Whiskey 2 Juliet Charlie.
Okay, so that's Whiskey 2 Juliet Charlie at ARRL.net?
I do believe that works.
Okay, I'll send an email and I'll copy you as well. I haven't put his call sign in right now. I just have it being WA2IC dot or dash TEMP because I didn't want to end up broadcasting somebody else's call sign. I don't think the FCC much would like that, nor the owner of that call sign. Anyway, it's easily changed.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, you can even put it up there as is and let him change it once it's working. One thing you might want to do is set the distance parameter to be like a mile, over a mile, because it's probably less than that, but that'll make a reasonable timing parameter, okay? Set that on both ends.
Okay, is there any downside to having the parameter set too high?
Yeah, it reduces performance at some level. I mean, having it too short is worse, but, you know, when in doubt, set it for just a bit more than what you need.
Okay, so, like, setting it to 20 miles would probably reduce throughput rather drastically versus, say, 2 miles. And, okay, so K2BIR, WA2IC.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the distance parameter is essentially a timing parameter. And so, yes, he would essentially slow up the data flow. Acknowledgements would be slower, everything would be slower. And, you know, it's not the end of the world if you're the only two there, but why do that if you're only two there? Just make it a little longer than what the maximum path length is on the frequency. That's a really good question. All right, anybody else have any questions about setting up a 900 or other mesh node? Okay, Bob, any more from you?
Gordon, not really. It's hard for me to imagine that your shack is any messier than mine anyway, but other than that, I think that wraps it up for now.
Trust me, it's pretty horrendous. Your rival Jimmy Joyce's, if you've ever, and his is legendary. Alrighty, let's see, moving on. AL0Y, you had a couple of questions, I guess, regarding Ted Arduino. Let's hear more about that from W2DDTK2BAR.
Right, thanks, Gordon. Yes, actually, regarding Arduino, I just ordered my first Arduino board today. Should get it soon. I just have a question regarding the analog pins, actually. It should sound like a simple question, however, I couldn't find that anywhere on the internet, so I needed someone who had the board so that can actually answer that for me. Are the analog bands input only or input and output together?
I believe they can be said to be either way. So you ordered a raw Arduino as opposed to one of the Arduino-based MMDVMs, is that right?
Well, I ordered the Arduino Uno board, and I've been reading some tutorials, and all I see is the analogs are used as inputs, so I was kind of actually running that as output, I would assume, somewhere on the board itself. There is a voltage rectifier somewhere. I don't see that, so that's why I'm asking if it's just input, maybe. Because, again, that's nowhere on the internet to be found.
Yeah, you know what? There's a PWM pin, isn't there? I think that's the output.
Well, WBM is digital, is mainly digital with pulses that can be read as analog value, but the analog bands are completely, well, for the input, they take anywhere from 0 to 5 volts, but no mention of being of them being output.
Yes, you're raising a good point. Off the top of my head, I don't remember. It's been a few years since I actually played with an Arduino. One thing nice about the Arduino as opposed to the Raspberry Pi is that while they are simpler and have a much smaller code space, they also take up a lot less power. So for simple controller things, turning things on and off and the like, they are really, really handy for that purpose.
Roger that. All right. One more question, if you know the answer for it, please. I know you can borrow it either from USB or the DC. Is there a switch to choose which one, or does it have a preference which one first, or how does that actually go?
That's a really good question. I've actually run it from both at the same time, if I recall. I had a battery on the pin you referenced, and then I still had it powered on the USB, and it was being powered off of my laptop while it was connected. The interesting thing about the laptop connection, of course, is that it also gives you essentially a serial connection, much like SSH, to log in over the USB connection. So you load your program, or what they call a sketch. You do that through that interface on the USB. But when you unplug it, as long as you have another source of power, it's good to go. And, you find. I actually loaded a sketch into one, and it ran for over 4 years, dutifully collecting data on a bunch of sensors that we had attached to it. It ran for about 4.5 years before the solar controller died, and I didn't know it, and so the Arduino actually kept running on the reduced voltage of the battery, even though it was a 12-volt battery. It was only running about 6 volts because the charge controller had died, and it was just getting enough energy from the solar panel every day to top off the battery, make it through the night. And after about 4.5, I think it was 4 years, 8 months, it finally died.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Right, that's actually very interesting and very good. So there's no switch, or you don't have to go from this to that. You can just fluently, it just moves from this to that based on whatever is connected. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, and that's the way I ran it. I mean, I put a power supply on the power supply pin, and, you know, before that, before doing that, I would run it solely on the USB, but that same USB interface that I used to power it and test it with, once I applied real power on the power pin, I could come and go with the USB without any problem.
All right, thanks, Gordon. Actually, one last question regarding the DC. It's marked as 9 volts, but should I be assuming that it's a wide range of volts that I could go like for 12, or should I stick to 9?
I think I ran, think about this. Well, I think it'll run on less than 9. Let's start there. And no, I think we ran it through a regulator of some sort. So, yeah, I wasn't slamming it directly with 12 volts. So, no, I think there's a voltage range. So, you might want to just grab a mega spec sheet and see what the power requirements are or power ranges. I don't have that up in front of me, otherwise I'd pull it up. But right now I couldn't find a mouse on this desk. I've got 5 running computers on this desk, and God knows where the microphone, where the keyboard and mouse is for any of them.
All right, Roger, that's, thanks, Gordon. Thanks for all the information. AL0Y, back to you.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that you don't want to run 12 volts directly to it. I think something bad will happen if you do that.
I already got the black smoke once. I'm not going to try to summon it again. But thank you again. AL0Y, back to you.
Okay, thank you very much, AL0YW2TTT. Real quick question for you. What do you want to do with your Arduino?
Repeat that again. Sorry.
What are your plans for your Arduino? What would you like to do?
Nothing in particular yet, actually, Gordon. Just for some tutorials, and I got the solder kit and the sensor kit, and pretty much exploring what I can do with it. Back to you.
Okay. Very good. Well, there are a lot of people doing various home control type things with it, and you can use it as a way to, you know which room your son's in. That itself would be an adventure. You know, a Rugrat tracker. Hi. Anyway, very good. That sounds pretty cool. Just for reference, on one Arduino and a single sketch, we read a GPS. This is something that was fixed, but we read the GPS anyway. We read the GPS. We had 2 temperature sensors, one on top of a solar panel and one about 4 inches behind it in the shade of it. We had a solar luminescence sensor. We had a compass. We had measuring voltage. We measured current. We took a sample every 15 seconds of all this stuff. You would sample all that stuff and go to sleep for 15 seconds. We took 4 samples a minute. And then we, for the first 18 months, we had it connected to a 2G cell card that was built in like a shield, and what it would do there is it would send the data to a server we had set up across the internet on the company server. And that was pretty cool. We captured about 1.5 years worth of data. And when it finally died, drop it. When it finally died, about 6 months before it finally died, we restored a server at the same address, and it was still chugging out data just as it had been 4 years before. It was pretty amazing. So, you know. Stuff is really, really good. We had it on a deep cycle battery, one of those, what are they, yellow top or blue top batteries with the cylindrical cells and a 50-watt solar panel. And the whole thing lived outside in a not environmentally controlled box, but a weather-resistant box. But the ambient temperature and humidity was the same. The board was exposed to the ambient temperature and humidity outside, but it was... And that's what killed the solar controller, which was a purchased device. And that caused the ultimate demise of the system, because the Arduino and all the sensors and interfaces we built with the sensors still work.
Hi, Gordon. Yeah, that is definitely something I would like to someday pretty much explore. Again, I'm just at the beginning right now, following some tutorials and just exploring what I can do with it. And yeah, definitely one day I would like to run something like that. Anyway, AL0Y, back to you.
Okie doke. Well, I still have my 50 watt solar panel on. It's got a Anderson power pole sitting at the end of the cable coming down. Mounted at a decent angle, facing south, on a, I guess, an 8-foot pole that's up on my deck. So it's about, somewhere around 14, 15 feet in the air. It's up on the rail, and the deck's elevated too, so pretty cool. But we measured the current coming from the solar controller. We measured the current and voltage coming of the battery, and we measured the voltage. I measured the current coming into the Arduino 24/7 for years and years and years. We built, actually, a team of us built five of them, and the rest are all in Georgia. Mine was here in New Jersey, and actually, ironically, even though I'm furthest north, mine performed better than everybody else's, because frankly I just took the time and trouble to make sure it had a good sun angle and things like that. So even though all the equipment's gone, I have since acquired another solar controller, and I think I'm going to put another battery on, which I have. I'm going to put that on and put that to work, and that way I'll have a rechargeable solar array on my deck, which will be very nice. All right. Anybody else have any questions about, you know, either Arduinos or solar charging or God knows whatever else?
NJ2BS, repeat.
ACCGI with a question.
ACCGI, Rich, welcome. Good evening.
I'm just on the way back from Maryland, and I've been listening. The sensors that you had, did you have to make those by hand, or were they something that you could buy off the shelf and just plug into the Arduino?
So the answer was, the sensors we could buy on commercial sources. Interfacing them, we had to kind of play some games.
Okay, I didn't know whether they had, pre-made up stuff you just kind of plugged and played with the Arduino or the Pi. Back to that, AC2GI.
Yeah, today they really do. So, Rich, that's a good question. Measuring the light quality from the sun was an intriguing exercise, and we plotted that as a function of voltage and current from the panel and temperature of the panel, and we even took into account delta T by having a second thermometer or thermal sensor, if you will, 4 inches behind the panel in its shade. But not attached to anything on the panel itself. We're able to get ambient air temperature in the shade behind the panel. That worked out really well. It's about 4 or 5 inches, actually. And it was largely on the, it was it was in a very, you know, free-flowing air area. The one on top, obviously, was in the corner of the panel, because we didn't want to affect the performance of the cells, but we wanted to take the temperature reading on the glass on top, which in the summer became amazingly high. And yes, a hot panel does perform less well.
Very interesting. Very interesting. All right, back to net. AC2GI. You have a good night, Gordon.
Okay, welcome back from Maryland. One other thing I did notice was that in the summer you get more light. That's the good news, but you get better quality of light. That's also good. But temperature, boy, that could really you notice the impact. So if you got a bright sunny day and yet it was cool, you got better performance than a similar day where, you know, you had where the panel got really, really hot. So it was fascinating to watch. It really, really was. Anyway, anybody else have any questions? Alrighty, any other check-ins, any other topics for the net, please call KTBAR. Alrighty. Well, I think everybody, I'm going to button up the net. It's been a pleasure. Kind of a shortish net tonight, but that's okay. Got some good topics under our belt. It's always exciting. Just a reminder, there's coffee at Premise Park Mall tomorrow around 8:30. For the Barra members, there's a Fairlawn meeting tomorrow at there's no formal meeting, but the club will be open from 6 till about 9 p.m. at the Fairlawn Community Center. And I believe also there's a Wayne Amateur Radio Club meeting at 7 or 7:30 over. Ali, is it in the library? I'm trying to remember. Is it in the library tomorrow night?
It's in the health department building next door to the library, actually. To the right, when you're facing the library. That's 475 Valley Road, and the meeting starts at 7:30. And when you go there, it's gonna be the door that next door to the library, and you go in all the way to the back of the building. It's health room number 2.
Yeah, I've given presentations there before, sure. Okay, so it's the part of the building essentially that's to the right of the library as you're facing the building. And there's a long walkway from the curb, the parking lot, which is ample right out in front. And you just take the hallway straight to the back of that hallway, and you're good to go.
That is correct, Gordon. That's correct.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much, and look forward to seeing you. You might want to let the club president know that I'm going to come and be able to address any mesh issues and such. I think there's a great potential in Wayne because of all the number of active hams there and the hilltops and the adjacent hilltops that feed into the town. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for the club to do some really good stuff there. Alrighty. I think it can be lit up as well or slightly better maybe than Fairlawn in some cases, although I think some parts of the town will be very difficult because of the hills and valleys. But overall, I think you can tie together some major facilities in your town very nicely. Alrighty, anything else?
Gordon, I have one more comment.
Go right ahead.
Rob, our section manager, who I can't remember his call sign, is actually going to be also tomorrow at the Wayne Amateur Radio Club.
Excellent. KA2PBT.
Yep, that is his call sign. That's correct. ALZY, back to you.
Okie doke. That'll be good. He's a fellow AT&T, or he works in Middletown. Alrighty. We'll chat with you tomorrow night. Look forward to seeing you.
Looking forward to that as well. Yep, definitely that would be good. Again, that's 7:30, and most likely I'm going to be listening at 4:42 before I go to the club. Most likely I'm going to be driving from work straight to the club, so I'll be listening while driving at 4:42.
Okie doke. I'm hoping reload a code plug that has analog in it in my 440 HDs, the DMR HDs. That would be good. I'll get that done perhaps tomorrow morning, or no, tomorrow early afternoon. I've got a lot to do first. I'm actually giving platelets in the morning at the blood center. So, alrighty. Anything else?
NJ2BS, repeat.
Gordon, AC2GI.
Mr. Rich?
Real quick, I have a couple of my mesh nodes in my house just turning on. They're not doing anything except talking to each other. I was wondering if you can see them from the dormitory.
The real question is, are they on channel minus 2 and are they running 5 megs bandwidth?
The firmware puts them on channel 1.
Okay, so you have Linksys boxes?
Yes.
So I would not know because we're on a different channel with a different bandwidth. However, I can make a point next time I'm up there of messing with the node and see. Rich, I could also lend you a nano station and that's set up correctly, and you can swing that toward Pioneer Hall and at the college and see. My guess is the answer would be yes.
All right, probably later in the month. I am kind of booked up, so I will catch up to you on a Friday night at one place or the other, and we can talk about that. Thanks again, AC2GI.
No problem, Rich. I'd be happy to lend you a node. I've got a couple that I can spare for the purpose of testing, and if you like it, you go buy your own or buy another one and give it to me, whatever, it doesn't matter. All good. That's splendid. Yeah. If you've got line of sight to Pioneer Hall, the answer is, without question, yes.
All right. We will see. I have 3 Linksys boxes set up throughout the house, just talking to each other just to do it. But I didn't know you guys moved off the Linksys stuff already.
Yeah, a while back. But, you know, you're using the Linksys stuff for something it's good for inside networking, things like that. The other thing that it's really good for is Linksys boxes is that you flash them with DDWRT and you use them as secure access points associated with a mesh node. So you like put it up on channel 10 or 11, and that way you have a password protected, encrypted access on the Wi-Fi side, and then conventional device. And that way you can use any number of wireless devices to talk to a mesh node and get on the mesh, with your phone, your tablet, your PC, whatever.
All right, very good. Well, I've reached my QTH, so I will say 73s, and we'll talk to you soon. AC2GI, I will be clear.
Okie doke, 73 AC2GI, anybody else? KTBAR. Door were two stations, one without modulation and one with. All right, any other stations for the net, please call KDBAR. All right, well, I'm going to thank everyone for joining the net tonight. It's now much more appropriately like net. It's good hearing everybody. It's always exciting and always interesting. So, 73 for tonight, and we wish you all well. This is W2TGT K2BAR, returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use.
NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat.
K3GDX.
NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
What are the PLs for 06 and 94?
W2TGT.
NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.